Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
This Joyshung Law School grad was an assistant for domestic policy in a White House administration. And as part of her practice representing cities, she helped coordinate appropriations requests from clients such as Atlanta and Cleveland. One of the most tenured members of my executive cabinet, her focus is now on the various substantive issues in the areas of the law that affect our university. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the General Counsel and Vice President and Secretary of the Board of Trustees at Howard University, Florence Prelo. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Dr. Frederick. Thank you for having me.
So, you grew up in Salisbury, Maryland. Tell our listeners a little bit about Salisbury.
You smile when you say Salisbury, Maryland, so I assume you know where it is. It's located on the Eastern Shore. When I grew up there, it was the largest city on the Eastern Shore, and probably still is, if you count the surrounding areas, about 30,000 people. And over, I would say, the last 100 years, the Eastern Shore hasn't changed that much. A lot of people from this side of the Chesapeake Bay, the Eastern Shore is on the eastern side of the Chesapeake Bay. People have gone to the Eastern Shore and built million-dollar houses, but the culture and the politics, it's a very conservative area, have not changed that much.
And so you have five siblings?
I have five younger sisters. I grew up the oldest in a house of six women, my mother and my dad.
And what was that like?
Well, being the oldest, I think there was some expectation that I would set the standards for my younger sisters. I think, in fact, we all set our own standards because we're all quite different. Our personalities are different. We were taught to be independent by my mom and my dad. My dad believed in the virtue of hard work, and so he was always self-employed. My dad was not someone, knowing his personality as I did, he's not someone who could have worked for anyone else. And he had a variety of businesses. He had a restaurant. He had a pool hall. He had a cab business. All of those, I grew up in the wake of the civil rights movement. And my dad came of age when segregation was the law of the land. And so for him, the opportunity he saw from that was to create venues where black people could go to eat, to listen to music, how they could travel from one work to home by cab because white cabs wouldn't go into black neighborhoods. And by the time he and my mom had me and then my younger sisters at, within a space of about 10 years, things were changing. I went to a segregated school the first 6 years of my life. In seventh grade, the schools in my town were integrated. We're at the tail end of integration. And so I graduated from a predominantly white high school, as did all of my younger sisters.
One of the things that I'm often curious about is, obviously, that was a period of time and a window of time. And as you said, there weren't lots of negative incidents. Everybody was interested in making it work. Mm-hmm. Do you still retain relationships with white students from that high school now, or was your clique of black students so strong and so probably isolated that they still represented most of your socialization, because I would imagine outside of school, there wasn't much interaction left.
Well, I do have friends, white friends, who are still friends, who I speak to occasionally. But, you know, then we didn't have social media. We didn't have email. We didn't have texting. And so it was just harder to stay in touch with people. I went back to my high school a few years ago for a reunion, and I recognized all the students, black and white, that came to that class reunion, and we were all just happy to see each other. I know this sounds like it might be too good to be true, and maybe, you see, I'm the kind of person who tends to forget the negative and just focus on the positive. But to answer your question, I have one dear friend who became a missionary, and she and I are still in contact. She's lived in Haiti in St. Lucia. She is Caucasian. Her family grew up, she grew up in Salisbury. Her family is from Salisbury. So I think as well as we've maintained contact without the benefits of social media, it's worked for me.
Now, you taught at Goucher College, I mean, you, sorry, attended Goucher College and Zhoushang University. Mm-hmm. Why that choice for undergrad? And then why the law profession?
Well, that choice for undergrad was, I think, a little bit of influence by a favored guidance counselor who knew about Goucher College. And she was an African-American woman. She had been a teacher, in fact, at the segregated high school, and she became a guidance counselor when the schools were integrated. She thought that that would be a good choice for me. My dad liked it because at that time it was an all-girls school, so he didn't object. But I also think, Dr. Frederick, that my exposure had been limited. And so I was not as exposed to a lot of different options as kids are today. And I think I was channeled in that direction. I went to visit the school. It was very, the campus was just so serene. And it was small, and being from a small town, I don't think I would have been comfortable in a large university setting. So I think things just fell into place. I'm not so sure that I chose it. I think they chose me, and then the influence that I had from my parents and my guidance counselor seemed to make it the right choice for me.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Ms. Florence Prelo, and she is currently the General Counsel and Vice President and Secretary of the Board of Trustees at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So after Goucher, where did your path take you before law school?
I stayed out of school for a year. I was not ready to go to school after undergrad. I went to Annapolis, Maryland, and worked for a local government commission that was Maryland State Government Commission that was based in Annapolis. I commuted every day from Washington, D.C., where I moved after I left Goucher College, which is, as you know, is located outside of Baltimore. During the course of that year, I had a chance to reflect on what I wanted to do. When I was in college, I either wanted to be a physical therapist or a lawyer. And so there's a wide gap between those two professions. But a number of my friends from Goucher College went on to law school. They went to Georgetown. I also, at the time, Goucher was the sister school to Johns Hopkins. And so I had friends at Hopkins who went to law school. And I think that at my, the exposure I had in my job in Annapolis to the legislative body at the state level and lawyers sort of pushed me in that direction. And I applied to Georgetown, got in. Now, I continued to work because I couldn't afford to go to law school full time, and my parents couldn't afford to send me to law school. I worked, I moved from from my job in Annapolis, and I went to work on the Hill for Congressman Charlie Rangel from New York. The job was a short distance from where Georgetown University Law Center was located then and where it's still located. So the commuting, I could commute in 10 minutes between my job and law school. I went to school in the evening. It took 4 years because you take a reduced load. But there were some fascinating people in my class. I think I mentioned to you that the Mitch
Daniels
was in my class at Georgetown. And there were other people.
Former governor of Indiana and the current president of Purdue.
Yes. So that was my career path from Goucher to Georgetown.
So as we wrap, you made a significant change in career from a large law firm that you, as you described, you sort of grew to an academic setting here at Howard. Why such a change at the time that you made the change, and what do you see for the future of general counsels in academia?
I made the change because I was in law school, in law firms rather, for 30 years. That's a career. I had friends at the time who were sort of taking it easy and deciding they were just going to retire. I didn't want to do that. I wasn't ready to do that. I felt that this, all the work that I've done in this law firm, the amount of the different specialties that I had had engaged in or had learned about. I've done everything. You mentioned a couple of things I've done with government, but I practiced corporate law for many years, representing clients in real estate transactions, a number of commercial transactions. So it was a pretty diverse career that I was afforded the opportunity to pursue. And so I had always wished that, or thought about the fact that going in to represent one client would be great because I could learn about that client very intimately. And then as legal issues came up, I could address those with more knowledge than I sometimes had about clients that represent you to do one thing. And when that thing is over, that particular representation is over. So when I found out about the opportunity at Howard, I was intrigued. My good friend Kurt Schmoak was my predecessor in this job, and after being interviewed and being offered the job, this just seemed right to me, and it seemed exciting, challenging, which I think you know it has been.
Absolutely.
And your vision, Dr. Frederick, when you and I met, the vision that you set out as the challenges at Howard that you wanted to meet, that intrigued me as well.
Well, I appreciate that. And as we close, the Board of Trustees is often a misunderstood entity. And I think being a secretary of the Board of Trustees, you get an opportunity to really see who the members are, what they do, and how they do it. In that role as well, what do you see and what has been your impression of the role of a Board of Trustees at an academic institution, and specifically here at Howard?
The role of a Board of Trustees at a university in this particular time, environment, and with the challenges that are facing higher education is daunting.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Ms. Florence Prelo. She's currently the general counsel and Vice President and Secretary to the Board of Trustees here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.